Book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter number one. Acts chapter number one, we're going to begin a new series today. I know we are still going through the Gospel of Mark, and that has kind of pivoted to Sunday school. Mark, we've done Sunday school sometimes, Sunday morning sometimes, Sunday night sometimes. But with our theme for this year being the furtherance of the gospel, we're not going to go verse by verse per se, or chapter by chapter, but we're going to look at different occasions throughout the book of Acts and other portions of scriptures where the gospel furthered, where it was sent out and where more heard the word of God. And it's found all throughout the Bible. But it's, to me, it's kind of an interesting thought and interesting study. And this morning's message is probably going to be a little different than what you're used to. Acts chapter number one is a great passage of scripture. Most people want to jump to verse number eight. And that's we see in verse number eight. You can read it along with me. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So most people would say that's probably one of the most famous verses in the book of Acts, one of the most famous verses when it comes to the Great Commission. And so today we're going to look at how the gospel gets furthered, or the beginning of the furtherance of the gospel. But in this passage, I've never looked at it from this side before. And I know we've preached through Acts at least once all the way through. And another time, probably a number of years ago, we went through a portion of it. But in verse number one, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." So today I'm going to look at this thought about us passing it along. What do you mean? It means us sharing our faith with others. The book of Acts is specifically written to another individual, Theophilus. Does anybody really know who Theophilus is? Not really. God does. And that's all that really matters. God knows who Theophilus is, and God cares for others and all those other things we understand. So what Luke is doing here, Luke is the author of the book of Acts. What Luke is doing part of his responsibility. He is pouring his heart, pouring his life, and sharing what he knows to somebody else. Now, I know many times people think of great gospel crusades and people think of many people being saved. And I know that happens. We're going to see it happen in Acts chapter number two when we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit and how the apostles get up and they preach and many, many get saved. But there's many, many that will get saved from one person sharing their faith with someone else. And that's what the idea here today is, to pass it along. When we talk about the furtherance of the gospel, what always comes to our mind first and foremost is, man, we need to get the gospel across the country. We need to get the gospel across the world. We need to reach those people who've never heard. Amen to all that. That is all true. But more than likely, except for maybe through our missions giving, more than likely, most of us will stay here in Elizabeth City or some type of local area where we also have the same responsibility to share our faith or to kind of pass it along. So how do we further the gospel? And we've spent time in our missions conference talking about giving, and we spent a lot of time talking about reaching out. But today I'd like to look at this at the beginning of the book of Acts. It's not the way I would have started the series, but it's the way kind of the Lord laid it upon my heart, is look at this. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. We're not going to spend a lot of time. We might even come back to it next week some. But this thought is, Luke is writing to Theophilus. He is writing and he is sharing his faith. You know, this is a big part of our responsibility as Christians, is to share our faith. Part of the problem is we see sometimes believers that are kind of stuck. We talk about Sunday school class, a new beginning. Some people are stuck because of failure. Some people are stuck because of friends. Some people are stuck because of how they treat their flesh. Some people are stuck because of fear. And those are some of the things we looked at in Sunday school class. But in this thought, some people are stuck because they don't share their faith with others. Because they don't share their faith with others, they're not really following God's commandment. Because they're not following God's commandment, they become sometimes very stale, stagnant. They become to a spot that they don't have any joy of the Lord in their heart and joy of the heart, Lord inside their life because of the fact that God wants them to take what they have and share it with others. Now, I know that some of you are probably never going to stand in front of thousands like the apostles did. And some people are never going to stand in front of 100 people. Some people are never going to feel comfortable speaking to in a public speaker forum. But something we all do is we communicate with one another. We communicate with others. So today, I like this idea of us to consider about just passing along our faith. I truly believe that some people become very sour and become bitter because they keep the wonderful truth to themselves. I heard a preacher one time call them Dead Sea Christians. He said, "What's a Dead Sea Christian?" Well, the Dead Sea is famous for killing everything that's in it because there's all the water comes in, but it never flows out. And many times what believers and Christians have been in church sometimes 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and they hear, but they never give it an outlet. They never share their faith. They never express their faith. They never send their faith out through other avenues. And today, I'd like to look at this idea of pass it on. Us personally furthering the gospel does not mean let's pray for the pastor to do it. Let's pray for the leaders of the church to do it. Let's pray for our missionaries to do it. But us ourselves, we see Luke here who wrote 1/4 of the New Testament. He said, well, no, he only wrote Luke and Acts. Luke and Acts are both pretty big. If you took it verse for verse, word for word, it's about 1/4 of our whole entire New Testament is by this man Luke, who's not even known specifically for being a preacher per se. He's known for being a doctor. And what is he doing? He is writing, and you can imagine the Gospel of Luke and also the Acts is written to one man, Theophilus. So what's he doing? He's sharing his faith. It's one individual writing to another individual. The gospel, he's trying to tell them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some would say he wrote the book of Luke first. He wrote it in a way for them to meet Jesus, Theophilus, to understand who Jesus is, hopefully to become a Christian. And then he wrote the book of Acts to help disciple them. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, the outline I would say today is Luke's individual. Luke's individual. I think we miss this. We miss it so often because we think furthering the gospel is found in verse number 8 when it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And amen, that is completely true. There is a ripple effect. But that ripple effect that comes and that happens is it changes the world as you change one individual. Now, when Luke wrote this Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, I don't think he would know it would be canonized in the scriptures. He is literally writing these events out and these things out to one individual as a letter. He is trying to pour his heart, his life to reach one individual. What he knows, what he believes, he wants to share that with someone else. So let's look at Luke's individual. This we can read it again. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Now, what is the former treatise? The former treatise is the Gospel of Luke. So we mentioned it a couple of different times. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. He said, well, I don't know where Luke's at. Just go back a couple books. You got John, and then you got Luke. Go backwards there. Luke chapter number 1. And we'll see that Luke is written here to Theophilus also. And inside of this, you're going to see there's some different things that he's wanting to express and to share. Luke chapter 1, we see the introduction. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration, those things which are most surely believed among us. And so in my writing, I have it highlighted, surely believed among us. This is something that Luke believed. Look what it says in verse number 2. It says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now, I have highlighted there, even as they were delivered unto us. So there are some things they believe in verse number 1. They surely believe it. They're sold on it. This is something they believe. But it was something they had to learn from somebody. Look what it says here. Even as they delivered them unto us, it was something Luke had to be instructed. And now he's giving this to Theophilus. So here's my instruction. He says here, this is something I definitely believe. And this is something that was delivered unto me. And as you see how it was delivered from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse number 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, right unto thee, in order, most excellent Theophilus. So here's the desire. Look, I believe this. Someone gave it to me. I perfectly understand. He says, I have a good understanding, working knowledge of it. And then it says in verse number 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So we see Theophilus here. There's something that Luke understands and he believes. He surely believes it. He's set in it. Someone gave it to him. He understands what's being said. And now the reason why I'm telling you this, Theophilus, is because I want you to be instructed in this. I want you to know this. I want you to know, and I want you to believe what I have and what I believe. So what he's saying, I want you to believe what I believe. I want you to understand what I understand. I know someone gave it to me, so I'm giving it to you with the hope that you will understand also. Now, sometimes I think when we give out the gospel, and once again, it is our responsibility to give it out, but sometimes I feel like when people give out the gospel, they give it out and they're like, okay, there it is. Not with the intention of reaching somebody, sometimes in a self-righteous way. Hey, I'm better than you because I know Jesus is my personal Savior. No. Instead, he is saying here, hey, look, this is what I believe. Someone gave it to me. I understand it. He wants to help them understand it. And now I want you to understand it too. I mean, that's pretty simple. But when you consider the world that's around us, this is what we should do. This is how we should further the gospel. First, we need to make sure what we believe, remember that someone gave it to us, and then also understand what we believe, perfectly understand it, but then we should express it to those. Now, he is not there. He's not standing behind the pulpit preaching this to Theophilus. Instead, what is he doing? He is sharing it through a written word. He is writing him a letter. So here's the thought is, this is Theophilus's is Luke's individual. Let's go back to Acts chapter number 1 again. Acts chapter number 1. Now, you say, Pastor, this is what you think. No, this is what the Bible tells us. At the end of Luke 24, it says, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So in Acts chapter number 1, it says that it was a former, and he calls it Acts chapter number 1, the former treatise. What is that? The formal writing. That's Luke. So they're praising the Lord in Luke chapter 24, 53, the last verse in Luke. So they're extending it. So he writes the first part about Jesus, who Jesus was, that Jesus died on the cross. Now he's saying at the end of Luke, he's risen from the dead. He's ascended. He's given us the Great Commission. Now he's writing in Acts chapter number 1. Here's part number 2. The opposite, I want you to understand this part. Now I want you to understand this part. We see here the foundational purposes of the church, and we see here the formation of the church, how the church is going to grow and how the gospel is going to be furthered out. So when we think about this Theophilus man, one thing I want you to have come across your heart and your mind is, who's your Theophilus? What do you mean? I don't even know who Theophilus is. Who's the person you're sharing this with? Once again, here, it's surely, I know this. Someone gave it to me. Who gave you the gospel? Who? He said, well, Pastor, you know, was it an individual? Someone invited me to church. I told you my testimony before. I go back to my mom and dad. My mom and dad both, as young children, somewhere between 8 and 10 years old, to my knowledge, had people that came to them and said, hey, can I take your son to church? Wasn't a family member. My mom, a neighbor lady, hey, can I take your girls? Asking my grandmother, my granny, hey, can I take your girls to church? From that, mom got saved. So there was one person who did that, brought them to church, and the teachers, I don't know exactly how that transpired, but someone brought her to church so she could hear the gospel and she was saved. My dad, someone brought him to church and later on he got saved. And so who is your Theophilus? Who was the one that brought? I know my mom and dad made sure I was always in church. I remember I can tell you my Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Voschel was my Sunday school teacher when I got saved. Even though I didn't get saved in the Sunday school class, I got saved in a service. Dick Seaton was preaching. So all those different things, there was a different Lukes in my life that was pouring their life into me. So they believed something. They instructed me so I could know it. So Is there someone who reached you for the Lord? Is there someone who brought you to Christ? Now, who's that person that's coming to your mind? I know you can't all call it out at one time. I've heard some of your testimonies. I know some of your testimonies that say, hey, it was this individual or it was this individual. I know some people inside this church was brought to the Lord by other individuals in this church, and that's somebody that's popping in their mind. Now, here's the question is, now, who is saying that about you? So you're saying, who is your Theopolis? Instead of saying, who was my Luke? We'll use Dick Seaton because of his preaching. The Lord convicted my heart. I repented of my sins. I got saved that night. So I could say, you know what? Dick Seaton helped me see the light that night. Well, it was the Holy Spirit, obviously. And now I'm trying to reach, and there's a list of people that I'm trying to reach that I don't believe is saved. I'm trying to reach with the gospel. My question to you is, who helped bring you to the gospel? And who would say that Brian Pease, or use your own name, helped bring me to the gospel? Because if it stops here with just Luke's or Dick Seaton's or whoever it was that brought you to the gospel, and if you're not sharing it with someone else, we're not furthering the gospel. And that's what we're trying to get here in Acts chapter number 1. This is our responsibility. This is something God's given to me, giving to us. He's given to the church. God used one man to pour into the life of one man. But we see here that God used this passage of scripture to bring many people to Christ. Look what it says in verse number 2. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we see here, he's talking to Theopolis. He's saying to them, until the day in which they were taken up, he's saying when Jesus was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments. He'd be given an explanation about the apostles. And then he talks about what Jesus did, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Jesus, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. He was 40 days from the resurrection to when he was ascended. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, Jesus is teaching. He's telling Theopolis all these things, and being assembled together, he's telling them a story. With them commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, save he, you have heard of me. And then he begins talking about the different things. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse number 6 talks about how they come together and they ask Jesus about, is he going to be establishing his kingdom then? He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were thinking Jesus was going to be king physically. Jesus is getting ready to ascend up to heaven for thousands of years. And they didn't understand it. He's like, no. He said, this is not the time. And that's what he says. He says, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father have put in his own power. He says, this is not for you to know. This, the times and the seasons is not. He said, that's for God to know. He says, there is a time that I have. This is what I want you to do. He says, for it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father have put in his own power. He says, this is not what I want you to worry about, but this is what I want you to worry about. But ye shall receive power. He says, I don't want you to focus on other things. I want you to refocus on being a witness to me, not only in Jerusalem, but also in Judea and to Samaria and to the othermost part of the world. Verse number 9. And as he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So we see here in the story, Jesus is there. He ascends up into heaven. The angels are there saying, what are you looking for? Jesus gave you something to do. Now go do it. And that's what it says there in verse number 11. He says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And Jesus had told him, look, I want you to go. I want you to go back. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. I want you to wait for the power from on high. So what are all these things? He's just telling Theopolis what happened. He's telling him the story. Luke knows this. Someone has told Luke, eyewitnesses, as we saw in Luke chapter number 1, and he understands this. Now he is explaining this to Theopolis. He's sharing this. This is his individual. Who's your individual? Who are you sharing the gospel with? Who are you sitting down and saying, hey, and I'm not asking who you're sharing maybe a hobby with or sport with. And sometimes you can use those things to bring people to Christ. But who is it that in your life that you are sharing things that you know and things that you understand that's been delivered to you? Who is it that you're going and spreading that to? Because that's how we further the gospel. When we as individuals, so we see Luke's individual. Next thing I want you to think about is Luke's influence. Luke's influence. I say, what do you mean by Luke's influence? He say, he's just writing to one guy. What's the big deal? Well, think about it. This writing to one guy became a fourth of the gospel. I mean, it's something who's changed lives. I don't know how many times we've seen people saved from different passages of scriptures that maybe is found in Luke or found in Acts. We don't question why God allows us to be able to influence and who our individual is. We never know who that person is that's going to be saved. I mean, we heard the stories about maybe a Charles Haddon Spurgeon when the guy, how he got saved was there was a snowstorm and a deacon got up and he kind of preached, but when he was preaching, he stumbled over his words the whole entire time. And in the world's eyes, he would have done a miserable job, but God used that time to be able to preach. To speak to Spurgeon's heart. We think about D.L. Moody. You know, his Sunday school teacher, Kimball, went in and sought after him. What did he do? He said, hey, there is something I know and something I understand. Someone gave it to me. I want to share this with you. And D.L. Moody went and they said he shook two continents for the Lord. And there is time and time. You know, you got a whole Bible that's filled with Andrew bringing Peter, or Aquila and Priscilla helping Apollos, or Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, how individuals were won to Christ by someone sharing what they knew and what they understood and what they had received, and they gave it to somebody else. We must learn to give it to someone else. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with a gospel tract. I think gospel tracts are great. I think we should leave them everywhere. I think we should pass them out. I think we should, people we don't know, sometimes it's easy to begin a conversation, but people that are in our lives today, people that we know and we have relationship with or acquaintances with, we should have an interest in taking the things that we know and the things that we understand and the things that we've received and pass them to someone else. And that's exactly what Luke is doing here. So we see Luke's individual. We see Luke's influence. You never know what God's going to set in motion. You never know when that lady went to ask my mom, my grandmother, if they could take her little girls to church, never knew that she was going to get saved someday and someday, you know, have a son that was going to be a preacher. You know, we never know. And there's story after story. It's not our job to write the story. It's our job just to share our faith and to explain to people the things that we know and we understand. So we see Luke's individual and we see Luke's influence, but we see Luke's intent also. His intent was to pass on what he believed and what he knew to others. He wanted others to know and understand the truth of God. He this is the idea. He says, these are the things I know. I want you to understand the truth of God. And it's not speaking above their head. It's not trying to make yourself look at it. It's sharing the things you know, the things you understand, and you share it with them. That is how we further the gospel. The things I believe, I want them to believe. I know it's true. The things I understand, I want them to understand. The things that were given to me, I want to give to others other also. And that's what Luke is doing here. 2 Timothy 2:2 puts it this way, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's a spiritual chain reaction that happens, as you see in chapter 1, verse number 8. It starts in Jerusalem. Then it goes to Judea, and then it goes to Samaria, and then it ends up into the end of the world, the othermost parts of the earth. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, why in the world should I be ashamed of the fact that someone else doesn't know the gospel? It's because we know it. And he tells us to awake. He tells us to awake to righteousness. He doesn't say awake to the needs that are in the world, because the needs are obvious. He says, if you'll be right with God, you're going to want to share your faith with others. And once again, I know you might not know everything, but you can tell somebody what you know. That's what it's saying in verse 8 there when he says, but ye shall be witnesses. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. What's a witness? You're describing something you know as something that you understand, something that you've seen, the change that God's made in your life. But we have many, many weak spiritual Christians today that do not have an understanding. Yes, they have a knowledge. Sometimes I don't know how sure they're on it, but they have a knowledge of it and they received it. But because they don't understand it and because they don't study it, they don't share it with anyone else. And then others, and that's when the Bible's saying, I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness. Be right with God. And he says, as you're right with God, then you're going to want to tell others. He says, awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And he's like, why should I be ashamed? It's because I have truth. I understand the truth. It was given to me. I should want to share it with someone else too. So who is your Theopolis? Who is the person you're sharing your truth with? Now, this is, you know, when you preach, it's not just to learn. It's not just to hear and take in. It's something we apply. So we take this to our heart and say, you know what? I don't have a Theopolis right now. I don't really truly have someone I'm sharing. Then let's pray and ask God to give us a burden for souls. We heard Miss Stacy's song before the message, you know, asking, you know, give us a passion for souls. Because if we're not right with the Lord, we're not going to have an interest sharing those other things that God's given us to do. But if we are right with him, we are going to have an interest in sharing those things that God wants us to do and be a part of. Lord, help us to be desirous, to be like Luke. And the idea, he is just sharing his faith, what he knows. Pastor, I don't know much. Learn. We've been given it in the Word of God. People's souls depend upon it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ died, he was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. He did that for our sin. He paid our sin debt for us. And unless we acknowledge that, unless we realize that, unless we understand that we're sinners and we understand that God is the only way, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, people are going to be lost. So you say, well, Pastor, I just can't. You can share your faith. Share the things you know. So when we consider the furtherance of the gospel, when I was going, looking at this passage of scripture, I was going to talk about in the outline, I was going to say, let's worry about what God wants us to worry about. You know, they're worried in verse number 6, hey, how come the kingdom's not coming like we thought? He says, look, you pay attention to what I want you to pay attention to. He's God. He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait. We don't like waiting, but I want you to wait. And I want you to wait till the Holy Spirit comes. And then he says, then when you get the Holy Ghost, I want you to be a witness. That's what I want you to focus on. And so like with the angels, get busy doing what God wants us to do. Serve the Lord. Yes, wait on him. Understand it. But then don't be sitting there looking up in the skies. Yes, we're supposed to be watching. Obviously, we know that from the scriptures. But be watching, yes, but also be serving. The angels are like, what are you guys doing? You're standing up, gazing up into heaven. That same Jesus is coming back someday. You should get busy. You need to go tell this world. And they turned the world upside down. They listened. They got it. How did they do it? Yes, the Lord blessed and they preached and thousands got saved. And we're going to look at this passage of scriptures. But oftentimes, the way that a person's reached is with individual contact. Like many of you, somebody's here today. And the reason why you come to church is because somebody invited you possibly, or you saw a gospel tract somebody gave you, or you checked the website that somebody set up, or you were taught to go to church. Everybody's story is different, but we're all part of this story. The plan of salvation, the plan of redemption didn't begin at the cross and end at the tomb. No, it was planned before the beginning, before the world began, before the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain. And then Jesus comes, and we look through that throughout the Old Testament. He comes, he dies on the cross. It didn't start there. It started way back then. It didn't stop at the tomb. The story is still going on. He's seated at the right hand, and we are part of this church age. And as we're there, we're part of this story. We're living on the cusp of eternity. Jesus Christ could return at any moment. And what he tells us to do is, I want you to take your faith. I want you to take the things you know, the things you understand, the things that were delivered unto you. Now I want you to share it with your Theopolis, whoever that Theopolis is. And we don't know who Theopolis is. He is called specifically, and I think it's in Luke, talking about how he is his name, let me make sure I don't misquote it here. In Luke chapter 1, the most excellent Theophilus. So most people believe he was somebody who had influence or had some type of power or had some type of money or prestige. That don't matter. We're all in need of a Savior. Whether you're the highest of the highs or the lowest of lows, we're all souls that need a Savior. And Luke is investing his life. He's pouring his life. You can imagine how long it would have taken to write these books in order to send them to someone just so they can know. How much time and effort do we really give to be able to just share our faith? This is what I know. This is what I understand. It was given to me. I just want to share it with you. And I know not everybody's receptive. We don't know how many of these Luke sent out. We don't know how many times people have been rejected. I know that there's been numbers of times when I wanted to share my faith, people said, no, I'm not interested. And you respect them. You pray for them. You also try to compel them. But it's our responsibility to tell people. It's not our responsibilities to know. We know most people believe that Theophilus would have became a believer. That's where Acts comes into the play. So what do we look at here? We see Luke's individual. We see Luke's influence. And we see Luke's intent. He was not shy about it. He says, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to understand. So my question for you this week as we begin this series and we could think about the book of Acts. Amazing book. God uses these men in special supernatural ways to turn the world upside down. But are we personally furthering the gospel by just sharing what we know with someone? So I want to give you a little bit of a challenge this week. Pass out some gospel tracts. If you don't feel comfortable giving it to someone, leave it somewhere. But even beyond that, talk to somebody about the gospel this week. Hey, let me tell you what the preacher said. Let me tell you what I read this week. Let me tell you how I got saved. Different things like that. Just share your faith, the things that you know. And you say, Pastor, I don't understand everything. Talk about the things you do understand. And if you don't understand certain things, study the scriptures. Find someone you can trust spiritually. But if we're going to further the gospel, it's a ripple effect when there's more people that are furthering the gospel. It's a greater impact as individuals do it instead of just only one or two. So today, I guess, I don't know if the question or whatever title you want to put, I put how we can further the gospel, or the beginning of the furtherance of the gospel. The way that we begin furthering the gospel is by sharing our truth, our faith that we know with someone else. Who is your Theophilus? If you do not have a Theophilus, ask God to give you someone. Yeah. To be honest with you, it's not going to be hard to find. There is a world full of people who do not know Jesus Christ, and we need to know him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, I know today was about explaining what Luke knew and how he wanted to give that to Theophilus. And Lord, how we should be willing to share that with others. God, I would pray that you would convict our hearts about sharing what we know and believe with others. It's not just an idea I came up with, Lord. It's a commandment from you. And Lord, if we're really, truly going to further the gospel, or who are we sharing our faith with? I'm not talking about sharing opinions. I'm not talking about sharing special interest things. I'm talking about sharing the truths that we know to be sure and that we understand that we're lost and that we're sinners, we're in need of a Savior, and giving them to someone else so they could understand also. Lord, would you speak to our hearts about reaching our world for Jesus Christ? And Lord, I pray there's someone in this room that doesn't know you as Savior. Lord, they do not understand and know the things that Luke was trying to tell Theophilus. Someone who maybe never have come to a realization that they are a sinner in need of a Savior today, or that they would turn to you and they would put their faith and trust in you, that they would walk down the aisle during the invitation time so we can have somebody take a Bible and show them clearly from the scriptures how a person can be born again. Lord, we love you. Lord, we do ask that you speak to each individual's heart in a specific way during our invitation time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.